the salt. It's
time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, folks, you know things are crazy when craziness is breaking out in Idaho, of all places, right? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. We've got Sarah Brady with us. You say, who's Sarah Brady? A mom arrested, not making it up, for taking her kids to the playground during the pandemic. And also, we got my good buddy Tom Munns of the John Birch Society is going to be with us because, Tom, crazy things are going on out there. Children's Protective Services are kidnapping little children, little baby Cyrus, and then being forced to give him back. What is going on in Idaho? Folks, we're going to talk today as well about the color of law. What does that mean? What is lawfare? How are the forces of darkness, how have they seized our law enforcement? And what is it they're trying to do to push, get us to push back against the forces of darkness? Right now, go call somebody, tell them to tune in to Brighty on TV. They're not going to believe what they hear. We'll be right back.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrightyOnStore.com.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
So, folks, let me ask you, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer here, Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt. Let me ask you a question. Are we always supposed to comply with legal authorities? What if what they're telling us isn't the truth? Now, I heard somebody say this the other day, and maybe as I was listening to an interview that Sarah Brady was doing, where a caller called in and said, we should never, ever push back against the police because it teaches our children that they also don't have to listen to the police. Well, I guess that's a good point, but what if the police are wrong, especially in this age of COVID and everything that's going on with this? So 2 years ago, friends, 2 years ago, Sarah Brady, locked in her house with all this COVID mess that's going on, she says, I think I'll take my kids and go to the park. So Sarah takes her kids, goes to the park, and watch this video, because here's what happens. Go ahead, Ms. Producer.
Reason, it's to stop the spread of COVID-19. And one mom found out the hard way officials are serious about it. As Diane McInerney reports, she was arrested and charged with trespassing for entering a closed city playground.
Controversy erupts as a mom is arrested in a playground closed due to the pandemic.
Officer, you don't want to do that.
The arrest of a Meridian woman has sparked backlash.
I feel like I was singled out because I was the only person that was arrested.
The incident happened at a park in Meridian, Idaho, where anti-lockdown parents reportedly sent out this plea on social media. There are a bunch of us taking our kids to the park to tear the tape off the playground. Let's take a stand.
Police say they went to the playground after receiving several calls about what was taking place. They say when they got there, caution tape and metal signs stating that the playground was closed had been removed, and they repeatedly informed everyone it was time to clear out.
And there were grounds.
I just told you. We can close it anytime.
I'm sorry, Dinger. You don't need to talk to me, Brie. I'm just a mom with kids.
Then things come to a head.
You have 5 seconds. Brie.
Arrest me for being in the car.
Do it. Report it.
Okay, this is not. Officer, you don't want to do that.
As the mom is led away, others protest.
He is arresting her for being on a public playground.
In a statement, cops say mom of two, Sarah Brady, was charged with trespassing after failing to adhere to the rules in these very trying times.
She was asked to disperse the area and failed to do so on numerous occasions.
Her arrest triggered protests outside City Hall.
Sarah Brady, clearly a rabble rouser, probably a cop hater, probably couldn't wait to get even. And 2 years ago, they arrested Sarah Brady, never really got to court. And just last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess it is now, they finally dropped the charges against Sarah for doing what? Showing up at a park with her kids. Sarah, you got to tell us this story. Thanks for joining us. Come on in and tell us what happened here. First of all, Sarah, tell them what or who you are married to.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Coach Dave. I just happen to be married to a police officer of 20 years.
Oh, God.
So I know it's that part of the story, you know? This anti-lockdown mom. Let me just say, I am anti-house arrest without due process.
Amen. And so when you went there, Sarah, you didn't look. You'd been locked in your house. We've all been locked in our house. And you just want to get your kids out, let some steam out. You didn't think you were violating anything. You show up at the park and tell us what happens.
Yeah, I was taking my kids to a play date. I wasn't part, you know, they posted something about we're going to go to the park and take off tape. That wasn't me. So they tried to connect me with some random person on the internet who had made a comment. I don't know who that was. And I wanted to get my kids some fresh air and sunshine, which apparently I didn't realize was against the law. But you know, this is almost 3 years ago. So it actually will be 3 years this April. So I'm at over 2.5 years. And I took my kids to this play date and was only there. I was actually late to this play date. I was only there a few minutes and these officers arrived. And I'm going to be very clear that in Meridian, Idaho, our parks were open. The Parks and Rec director had said that open spaces and passive activity could happen. So I did allow my kids to play on this playground equipment. The equipment was what was closed and someone had ripped off the tape, not me. I let my kids play. When the officers arrived, I had asked my kids to get off. And this one officer in particular was saying, no, this area is closed. And I'm like, under what grounds? And he was kind of rude, honestly, you know, being married to a police officer, I'm thinking, gosh, you're just really representing police officers in a bad light. I mean, you've got all these moms here. We're not selling roofies. You know, there's no graffiti. And I'm a little bit, and here's, to be fair, I've been locked in a house with four kids for 6 weeks at this point. And I'm on edge a little bit, as I think most Americans were, who didn't want to be locked down. And so anyway, this officer had said, well, you know, go and talk to the Park and Rec's agent over here. So I went to the area that they were talking. Again, open area. The only thing that had been closed down was the equipment. And you'll never find me in any video swinging on the swings or climbing on the gym, anything like that. And so at one point, you know, we're asking questions like, well, you know, the virus can die in the sun. Why is the equipment closed down when there's basketball players? That's okay. And the picnic tables, those are okay to be open. And they've made sure that the doggy parks could stay open. And there's pictures on Meridian Police Department's website where they're letting kids sit in their cars, okay, for birthday parties. So anyway, you know, I'm just asking questions. I'm asking questions. And apparently it was against the law to ask questions, or maybe it was against the law to ask too many questions. Maybe that's what it was. And I just wouldn't stop asking questions. And at one point, this officer in particular, who I believe had contempt of cop, he says to me, "It's Miss Brady, I'm giving you 5 seconds to leave, or I'm going to arrest you," basically. And he starts counting down. I thought, first of all, I'm not even breaking the law. I'm literally not even in an area that's closed down by the city. It's only equipment. I've done anything. At this point, I'm just like, you know what? Fine. You know, arrest a mom for taking her kids to the park. This is what I'm thinking. And so I turned it around and said, okay, go ahead and arrest me. Do it. And they did.
But Sarah, this is just the beginning of the story. You said it was almost 3 years ago. Hey, Sarah, this hadn't come cheaply for you, has it? Because you went through that whole legal mess where really and truly, when it gets right down to it, nobody wanted to pick this thing up, did they? Because we're going to talk about the color of law here in a minute. They had arrested you for something that clearly wasn't against the law. They would probably try to charge you with obeying a lawful order when, in fact, it wasn't a lawful order. Sarah, tell everybody what you've been through over the past almost 3 years now, standing up for your right to simply take your children to the park.
Yeah, so after I was arrested, they booked me into the Ada County Jail, which at the time they had let out about 300 inmates due to COVID. And interestingly enough, they told officers, you know, don't be arresting on petty things, which I believe this was a petty thing to arrest on. So they booked me in. I bonded out on a $300 bail, and then I was charged with trespassing. And then about a week later, I got information that the Attorney General of Idaho would be prosecuting the case. Now, full disclosure here, the reason why is because my husband is an officer in a neighboring area, but those two cities work together on prosecutions. So it was a conflict of interest. So my case was sent, because I was married to a police officer, it was sent to the Attorney General, Lawrence Wasden. And in my first trial was scheduled for February of 21, and they canceled that in, I believe, December of 2020 due to COVID. And so I sat there on ice for months while we go to the all Zoom hearings. We would go to these Zoom hearings, and the judge is getting paid and the prosecutor is getting paid, and I'm having to pay my lawyer. I'm not getting paid for these shenanigans. And again, I'm just sitting there. It's not like we're moving forward to a trial. So finally, trials opened up again. A second trial was scheduled for August of 21. And at this point, I'm on to my second lawyer, this was actually my third lawyer at this point. And you know, we're moving along, and I'm just happy. You know, I'm not complaining too much that they've violated my right to a speedy trial, because I just want to get it over with. I thought it would be over in January. And so here we are, August of 21. And about a week and a half before that trial set to kick off, I get a call from my lawyer, and she's just like, "Sarah, I'm so sorry, but they have suspended trials again due to COVID." And what Ada County had done was, if 25 people out of 100,000 residents either were probable cases or tested positive, trials would be suspended. So if your grandma thought she might have COVID and they was a probable test case, I wasn't going to get a trial. Or if you're required to test due to your job because you refused the vaccine, I wasn't going to get a trial. So I was pretty devastated at this point. I spent about $18,000 and I let that lawyer go because I knew that I couldn't afford to sit on ice for another possible 4, 5, 6, 7 months. And so at that point, I sat on ice for about 8 months. And in January of this last year, January 22.
Two years later, right?
Almost 2 years later. I was able to go in front of a mediator judge, right? So it's a different judge than what I had, but it was a mediation. And the goal is to mediate so it doesn't go to trial, right? So we spent about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and this judge starts off in the very beginning of this meeting. Again, this is on Zoom. I still have never seen anybody in person at this point, and we're going on almost 2 years. Everything is on Zoom. And this judge basically says, well, Ms. Brady, I'm reading the report. You know, it looks like maybe you ripped down some tape. And at that point, I just stopped the, you know, I let him finish, but I said, Your Honor, I go, it's been almost 2 years. This is the first time I've actually been allowed to speak about what actually happened that day. I've been waiting to defend myself in a court of law. I've been waiting. And I told him exactly what happened. I go, I'm going to be completely honest with you. And so I told him, and I think he appreciated my candor and my honesty. Well, and at some point, he basically said to the state of Idaho, you know, what's the best you can do? And we talked for a while, and eventually they actually basically offered me a $50 ticket. But the one sticker there is I would have to plead guilty. And so I seriously thought about that for a moment, because you have to remember, at this point, I've spent almost $20,000, and we're going on almost 2 years. And it's exhausting. But this is what I ended up telling the judge. I said, you know, Your Honor, I think that this probably would have been a good deal if this had been within maybe a couple months of the incident. I go, but the problem here is now is I've spent almost $20,000. I've had my right to a speedy trial violated not once, but twice. I go, even today, if I wanted to go to trial, you would not be able to give me a trial because trials are currently suspended in the state of or in Ada County. And being as the process has become the punishment, I go, you know, I think George Washington would be rolling in his grave to know that a mother took her kids to a playground and the state of Idaho is prosecuting her for just taking her kids to a playground and asking questions. And I never even broke the law. I said, I'll tell you. And I go, you know, honestly, $50 is kind of offensive to me. My innocence is worth more than that, than $50. I've spent obviously more than that. I go, I'll tell you what. I said, state of Idaho. I said, if you will drop the charges, I will go out and tell the world that you have finally done the right thing. They didn't want that deal, though. So I don't know why.
The process is the punishment, though, Sarah. The process is the punishment. So let's fast forward to here. After 2 years, almost 3 years, they did drop the charges, right? Tell us what the heck happened there, Sarah?
Yeah, so the Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin was voted out of office. He lost his primary in May of 22. And, you know, at that point, though, I mean, I didn't know what could happen, right? I was still planning on doing a trial, but based upon we did a motion to dismiss in front of a judge, which he denied, I believe, in October of 22. And then it just ended up the scheduling conflicts. My trial actually was scheduled for tomorrow. I was due for my trial tomorrow, the 24th and the 25th. And so our new attorney general is Raul Labrador. And basically he had a poopy diaper that was left on the desk, on his desk when he came into office. And he had to clean it up, right? He had to do something. He had to either continue to prosecute a mom who, I mean, I just went to a playground. And after all we know about COVID, after all we know, you know, he had to do the right thing. Because anything else would have been wrong to continue to prosecute me, especially how much money I'm actually almost at now, 40 grand currently. And so I'm very thankful, you know, so we've been in the news, and I actually, you know, everyone's like, well, you know, it's because he knew you. No, I actually didn't even know the man. I was just so happy that Lawrence Wasdin had been voted out of office. And so there's some pictures of us. I make political dresses, and I made a political dress promoting him for Attorney General, because honestly, anything would have been better than Lawrence Wasdin.
So let me pull my buddy Tom Munns in here. Tom's I want to get your title right. Tom works for the John Birch Society. By the way, Meridian is Boise. Boise Meridian, so that you get a feel for where it is, right? Pretty much. So Tom, certainly Sarah's lying to us here, isn't there, Tom? There's more to this story than this wouldn't happen in conservative Boise, Idaho.
You know, I got to tell you, and I love doing this in public, Sarah is one of my favorite people. And
me too.
If she's guilty, then I'm guilty. And if I'm guilty, then you're guilty. And if you're guilty, everybody's guilty. So there's nothing further from the truth. I have never seen such outrage in my entire life. And the fact that I can sound even remotely diplomatic is probably only because I haven't had enough coffee, because this thing is just absolutely over the top. And, you know, there are several things that had kind of helped Idaho know where we were going. And this is one of the biggest ones. I mean, when you look at her face, if you look at her and you look at her husband and her husband's a cop and you look at their kids and all that, she's a mom. She's an all-American mom, as true as they come. And the fact that they had ended up doing what they wanted to, or they did it because they wanted to make an example of her, pure and simple. And you got to, you know, when people move here to Idaho and they understand how the establishment works, don't misunderstand the fact that we have a totalitarian form of government like any other state in the union that looks a lot like every other country in the union, just to a lesser degree. There's more abuse going on here every single day that people need to start paying attention to. And I think, you know, when I was talking to Sarah early on, because I really wanted people to understand what was going on with her too, you know, most of us that have been in the trenches for a long time understand something. If we're going to go ahead and we're going to draw a line in the sand and we're going to decide to step our foot over it, we're all alone. The kind of support that we get is extremely rare. And I don't mean that there aren't people that support us. There are. But what I mean is that there needs to be enough support to make a difference. And there isn't. The fact that she had to put a dime down to the government to be able to try to defend something that she had is insane to me. And I would believe that there would be, and I hate to use the word reparation now, because it usually comes against us, but there needs to be full restitution for this lady and everything that she's done, and the government needs to learn a lesson. And so we need to, while they're trying to teach us a lesson, because she was really kind of the martyr for the rest of us. It's kind of like, well, let's say if we can send a strong message, you know, we're gonna attack Ammon Bundy, and we're gonna attack Sarah Brady, and we're gonna attack, you know, this person and that person, and there's a multitude of others. I just can't remember them all. They clearly want to send the message that they are the ones that carry the hammer, and we're helping on making sure that they don't ever have that hammer again, if they ever had it in the first place.
So Sarah, take us behind the scenes. We've got about 4 minutes before we go to halftime break here. Take us behind the scenes, Sarah, because it's gone on for 2 years. What's the reaction, for the most part, of maybe your friends, the people you go to church with? Because clearly the government's saying you're a criminal. And here you are, the wife of a cop, saying, no, I didn't do anything wrong. And as you look back over your shoulder, Sarah, over the last 2+ years, do you wish you'd done it differently? Do you wish just at the beginning you'd have bit the bullet and swallowed and left your pride on the table? What's your reaction here 3 years later?
Yeah, no, there's only one thing if I could change, if I could go back, would have been to get a nap before I went to the play date that day and not been so hot-headed. Not to say that I still wouldn't have been willing to get arrested, but that I could have done it in a classier fashion, I guess. Because Tom knows me. It takes a lot for me to get that mad, and I was pretty mad at that point. And so that would be the only thing, is just, you know, I could have engaged, even though it was actually the officer's responsibility to de-escalate. If he wasn't taking that responsibility, I wish I could have been the better person or bigger person. Not that I was required to. It's just that's my human nature to want to do better and be better and admit when I'm at wrong, at least in that regards. But no, I mean, if I could go back, no. Mothers taking their kids to playgrounds for, you know, fresh air and sunshine, which is the most essential thing. You know, you have to remember back then, remember, we were being labeled essential and non-essential. My husband was essential because he's a police officer. I'm non-essential, which I just want to say right now, mothers are the most essential to the state of Idaho because we give birth to taxpayers. So how dare you even begin to insult us like that?
So Sarah, let me throw this in because my brain goes a million miles an hour. How was your husband treated? A cop. What was the pushback that he got? Did he work? By the way, it wasn't the same police department, right? But there certainly had to be some pushback there.
Well, yeah. So he actually knew the officer that arrested me. so that was kind of an interesting situation. But so it was really interesting because he had a lot of coworkers that were like, your wife's my hero. And then he's had people that still to this day don't really talk to him. So it really created such a division. And he has been treated differently. And again, but there are people, you know, the people that have supported us have been supportive. And then the people who haven't have just remained that way, despite the fact all that we know about COVID. And I think, you know, you ask about how do people react. So back then, you know, it was very, very, very divided. I had a few friends that stopped talking to me and still to this day don't talk to me. And then I've made friends. I mean, I've made way more friends than I ever lost. And, you know, the people that I've gained have been people that have been really strong in their principles and have understood the law, and understood what happened that day. Because, you know, people want to say, well, you always have to obey an officer and it's so disrespectful if you don't. But the thing is, you know, it's really disrespectful. You know, it's really actually really a big deal is for an officer to use his power, control, and authority to threaten to arrest a mother who's not even breaking the law. And we have to take that so seriously, because I was taken away from my two children. I have four, but two were there. I was taken away from my two children in handcuffs for not even doing anything wrong. And so I have no problem. If we are not the type of American citizen that we can't call our law enforcement into question when they're doing something wrong, why don't we just let them rule the world? We need to be able we need to be willing to say, no, this is wrong. And of course, here's the deal. That going to a playground and getting arrested, that would have never been my hill to die on. It just ended up being my hill to die on. Because what my hill to die on actually really is I never, ever, ever want tyranny to show up in America. And we just brush it off and say, well, you know, it's a thin blue line. We just do what we're told and we'll take care of it in the court system. But that really, our thin blue line, it's really a last stand against really bad things. I mean, that's who took the people into the carts to Auschwitz.
Sarah, I'm running out of time. I got to go to break. I wish you were my daughter. I'd like to reach through there and give you a big old hug. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about lawfare and the color of law. Hang in there with us. We'll be right back with Sarah Brady and Tom Munns.
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard-won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at RightEonStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at RightEonStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, RightEon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at RightEonStore.com today.
Hey, I'm General Mike Flynn, and I just want to encourage everybody out there to go to Brighteon TV. Brighteon is awesome. It's unapologetic. It's all about the truth. They have a great group of hosts, and their cast and their team is wonderful. Get out there and watch Brighteon TV. It is where you're going to discover the truth.
Tired of being surveilled and tracked by the wireless phone companies and a rogue government? Get off the surveillance grid by turning to Volta Wireless. By plugging the Volta SIM card into your phone, you become hidden from the spy networks of AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and other carriers, while maintaining your full ability to place and receive phone calls and SMS texts. Go to VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV to save big on your first month. You get free VPN services included, plus a private messenger that's encrypted, as well as another Volta private phone number that can coexist with your current number. Learn more at VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV for major savings. It works with both iPhones and Android phones across 200 plus countries. Volta Wireless is the official wireless privacy sponsor of Brighteon.tv.
Hey, welcome back, folks. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer with the Warrior Sarah Brady and my Warrior buddy Tom Munns. What's your integrity worth? What will you sell your integrity for. Now, we just heard Sarah Brady tell her story, and she probably could have got out of this a lot cheaper if just at the beginning she'd have pled guilty to whatever it was they said that she did and paid a $100 fine and got on with her life. But instead, it drags out over almost 3 years. She said $20,000 in legal fees. But folks, ultimately, at the end of your life, what was your integrity worth? And if we're not willing to stand up and take, as Shakespeare said, the slings and arrow of outrageous fortune, what good are we? And I'm so honored, really, to know Sarah, to be able to call her a friend, and Tom, because so few people will, in fact, stand up and do what they're supposed to do the right thing and demand that the government does the right thing. Now, I want to talk about two things here real quick, and I'm going to kind of co-mix, and then I'll get Sarah and Tom back in here with us. Number one, folks, is what they call the color of law. And Ms. Producer, if you could bring up number one there, the color of law. This is from justice.gov, and the color of law means this. Because maybe, I'm not going to try to squint and get up here and see what it says. But here's what the deprivation of rights under the color of law. Color of law meaning this. It looks like a law. It sounds like a law. It smells like a law. It sounds like a lawful order. It all sounds good, but it ain't a law. That's called the color of law. And Sarah Brady was arrested under the color of law. Now, what was the color of law that Sarah Brady was arrested under? They told her that a mandate from whomever was, in fact, a law. Sarah said, that ain't no law. That ain't no law. And they continued to prosecute her, or at least hold prosecution over her, under what? The color of law. When the reality of it is, they didn't have one thing to hook her case on. Because she had not violated any law. Friends, listen to me. And Tom can dig into this a little bit more because he's kind of an expert on this. This is going on everywhere in America. People being, hey, folks, how about those J6ers, those guys in Washington, D.C., that are still in jail 2 years later, have never been before a judge yet, and they are being charged, I would say, under the color of law, not being released. This kind of stuff happening everywhere. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is because Sarah has just gone through this. One of the ways that the Luciferian left works is what they call lawfare. Lawfare. Lawfare meaning this. They're going to charge Sarah Brady, and they don't care whether they ever find her guilty or not. They're going to drain her of every penny she's got, every bit of energy she's got. And then at the end of it, after they've drained her, then they'll drop the charges. Folks, this is going on all across our Justice Department. And what you will find out would happen, I don't know what, again, Sarah's case would be a little bit different, but a friend of mine who just got arrested and for January 6th, 2 years ago, right? They charge him now with four different things. One, two, three, four. And why do they charge him with four different things? Because they want to be able to drop three of them and then say, okay, if you'll just plead guilty to this one, then we'll drop the rest of them. Folks, that's lawfare. That's what's going on in our justice system. And Sarah, as someone who went through this, this is, in fact, how this game is played. You could have saved $40,000 if you just pled guilty.
Could have just taken, just paid $50 and pled guilty. But I think there's more at stake here than, money and time and energy. And one of those for me was the fact that I was innocent. And then secondly, when you capitulate to an out-of-control government, we're giving them permission to keep doing it. You have to resist.
So, Tom, from your perspective, you certainly see this stuff going on all the time. In fact, let me switch a little bit, Tom, real quickly, if I could. Number five, Ms. Producer, if you could, bring up the story of Baby Cyrus. I don't know if you folks remember this or not, but Baby Cyrus was a little child in, who would have thunk it, right? In Idaho, Boise, Idaho, whose child, Baby Cyrus, was stolen from his parents because of the color of law, Child Protective Services, trying to protect the child, seized the child, and they went through hell in order to get little baby Cyrus back. Lawfare at work again. Tom, from your perspective and all the information that you have and the police departments that you visit with and the instruction you give, what the heck's going on, Tom?
Oh, my gosh. So this isn't probably well known. I'm not even sure if Sarah knows this, but when I was looking at this case, I thought, oh, my gosh. I know Sarah. I love Sarah. And it's kind of funny because one of the police chiefs that I used to meet with the most frequently, aside from Canyon County, was Tracy Bastidache himself. And so I've always known Tracy to be he's very, very well liked, obviously, by law enforcement. The New American did an article even with him. His willingness to visit with me was, even though, you know, his mindset and my mindset, we may have some similarities and some differences, he was very open to allowing me to come visit. So it really put me in a very, very difficult situation and trying to figure out how to deal with that with all of the law enforcement. But ultimately, right is right, right, Coach? I mean, there's a right and there's a wrong. And when there's something wrong, you have to call out that wrong wherever you see it. And when you talk about the color of law and things of that nature, it's super, super important because the average citizen has no understanding what we're fighting. They have no understanding of the magnitude that we're fighting. They have no understanding of the conspiratorial elements even on what we're talking about, which nobody even mentions, which is the 900-pound gorilla in the room. Part of globalism is to be able to create a welfare state where they end up, along with these multinational corporations and these NGOs, enslave humanity. And so the healthcare, they figure if, and I think our totalitarians of old have even said, if you can take control of a person's health, you can take control of a person. And so we're really in an interesting situation. Now, JDS is an organization that doesn't necessarily believe in protesting. And I learned a lot from this because not only was I there, but I mean, I had to take a step back and say, okay, well, it's clear that protesting worked. I mean, I think Sarah and I think any one of us would believe that even though we don't want to be compromised or anything like that, if it wasn't for that protest that happens down there, I am confident that baby Cyrus never would have made it back to his family.
So never. Tom, one of the things that's going on, and Sarah, this is kind of directed at you. If you could have pled guilty, you could have got out of it. And forever, people would have said, well, that's that girl that trespassed. That's that mother that trespassed, when in fact you hadn't trespassed. But Sarah, even worse than that, everybody else who's confronted with the same situation that you were confronted with, color of law, they're going to say, well, they got Sarah Brady for doing it. So when you capitulate, when you just want to save the money, That's how we lose our rights. You certainly had to, Sarah. $20,000, $40,000 just for saying, no, I'm not going to capitulate. You're a rare breed, Sarah.
Well, I think that was one of the reasons. I mean, there was many reasons why I continued on. But one of the things is I believe I was a political target. And now if you're a political target, that means that you're doing something that the government doesn't like. It doesn't mean it's illegal. It means they're doing something you don't like. And the fact that I'm a mother married to a police officer, you know, I have four kids, I'm an upstanding citizen, you know, I pay my taxes. Like, if you're going after a mom like me, what does that say about who else they're going to go after?
Yeah, who's, you know what I mean? Like, who's if safe, I'm a target, right? Nobody's safe.
If I was safe. And so if I believe one of the reasons I was such a political target is because a mother standing in a playground, not breaking the law in front of her children, being willing to send a message on accident. I didn't do it on purpose. I stood my ground and it sent a message. I am the type of person that if you're going to cross, you're going to cross that line with me as a law enforcement officer and you're going to illegally arrest me in front of my children. I'm willing to be taken to jail for it. That sends a message to other citizens. And they go, oh, this woman's willing to do it. And I can't tell you the amount of people who felt more courageous because of the example that I had given that, hey, we can sacrifice things, right? I mean, Amen. It was scary to be taken in front of, like, I'm not playing down. It was scary. I can go back. I have PTSD. I've gotten pulled over the last couple of days and it was scary. It was scary to be around a law enforcement officer. And I'm married to one. I'm telling you, I have PTSD from being taken off of a playground. I wasn't selling roofies. You know, like, I'm a good person. And so I think that's one of the things is like, you know, at the end of the day, like we have to stand strong and you have to be willing. Like, this is America. And if we don't do it, what are we handing down to our children? It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And there's no way I can look myself in the mirror at the end of the day and say, well, I'll just plead guilty because it's just a physical fine. Like this, it's more than that. It's more than money. It's more than our time. Literally, you know, what is life worth without freedom? You know, like it's nothing.
Sarah, this would have been so much easier if you had simply held a drag queen story hour at the park. Right?
Only
if you had just done that, they would have had police there protecting you. And you don't, you know, folks, I say that tongue in cheek, but that's really where we are. Tom, in your dealings, and you travel around, you talk to police officers, you try to advance liberty and freedom in America. What are we up against, Tom, as you see it?
We're up against ourselves being our own enemy. And what I mean by that is this. I think Sarah remembers, because sometimes I can be a stick poker even to my friends, and sometimes it can be kind of a drag, but I want my friends to know I never forget about those things, and they're not intended to destroy or undermine what people are doing. But here's a classic example of what happened. So Sarah ends up, she has a court date, and she's, you know, obviously we want people to be able to go there. I am one of those people. I would love for people to be able to go and support. But the question that I'm coming after, and I'm always trying to figure out a way to get people more engaged, because we all know that apathy abounds in a huge way here, right? It's okay. All right. So the argument is, the abuse has already happened. Sarah is already in trouble. This is going to continue. And the average citizen's narrow-minded belief, I will tell you, is to be able to focus solely on Sarah and to be able to support her and to wave billboards and bang on garbage cans and do all this garbage to be able to support her. But the abuse still happens, Coach. And so here's my argument, and I hope to – sometimes I just like to just get in there a little bit, is to really have a little dialogue with my fellow peeps and say, look, the reason why Sarah Brady was arrested is because it's your fault. Prove me wrong. And the reason why it's your fault is because you have allowed this totalitarian government to completely increase its size and control in an exponential way, and you have continually backed off and watched – I hate football. Sorry, Coach. But I mean, and what I mean by that is, for people that don't pay attention and they live vicariously through people on the field, you know, we've had this discussion before. It isn't the game itself. It's that these people, that you have the ability to be able to be a warrior. You have the ability to be able to put on your breastplate of righteousness and your helmet of salvation and all of these things. And yet the only thing you want to do is put on those ugly blue and orange freaking shoes and those long polyester shorts. There's a war raging in this country, and they're taking good people like Sarah Brady, and it's sad to see, because my idea in reaching out to law enforcement is to say one thing. I understand what's happening. I know history enough to know that if the citizens don't go up against law enforcement, or at least open dialogue with law enforcement and question their authority, they are going to be showing up door to door in the name of the law. And so when you talk about the color of law and things of that nature, what you said is, I know it's not going to fit well with the average listener that isn't very intellectual, but the color of law says it's a mere semblance of a legal right, right? It adjusts the law to the circumstance, yet said apparently legal action contravenes in the law under color of authority. Now, it's important, and maybe it's a time for something else, but the reason why the Constitution is spoken about, and we talk about common law and we talk about color of law, is to be able to say, and I'll even say this, I went to a DOJ hate meeting the other day at the College of Idaho, and I did a video on YouTube and on Facebook that will tell you what they said. They said exactly what you said, Coach. If we can't get them under Idaho code, then Idaho is going to go ahead and we're going to call the feds and we're going to have the feds get on it. And then they're going to work diligently to try to find something or as many ways to be able to incarcerate said citizen that might do what we said. And they went over and over. Well, sometimes it's completely difficult to find a law that we can hang them on. But you know what? We're still going to try. I mean, this is our Department of Justice, for crying out loud, that's talking about this. That's openly stated what Title 18 clearly
is by a deprivation of rights. And yet, on the other hand, they sit there and talk about freedom and liberty, and they talk about the civil rights era, and they talk about all men are created equal, and they talk about all this garbage. And the average person there, I mean, blue-haired, 6'3", people with men with boobs, I mean, it's just, you know what? It's just, you know, weird. We continue. I was traveling yesterday. Sorry about this. I'm almost done.
Go ahead.
I was traveling with my wife yesterday, and we were going through, and we were driving through town because we were picking some stuff up for her business or whatever. And I looked at all these parking lots, Coach. You'll love this. And all the parking lots for the churches are full. I'm like, isn't it weird? We've got porn literacy in the library. We've got baby Cyrus that's being captured. We've got the husband. We've got the wife of a law enforcement person with four kids that's being arrested. We got Ammon Bundy that was cable tied to a chair, and they call him an extremist when he didn't even lash out in anything he's ever done. We've got Senator Risch that's now joined the World Economic Forum. We've got a corrupt judiciary that believes in suspending due process. Indefinite detainment, and certainly no speedy trial. And yet all of these churches that are praising Jesus, baby, they're nowhere to be found when it talks about the importance of the church in our government.
By the way, Tom, I could go for a while here. By the way, friends, Jesus was arrested for disobeying the authorities. You do understand that, don't you, friends? They say, oh, Jesus always followed the law. Look, those over Jesus were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When he stood before Pilate, he said, you have no power or authority over me, dude. I ain't a Roman. Don't be pulling that crap on me, Jesus said. But who did have power over him? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. And what did he tell them to do? Go pound sand, you whitened sepulchers full of dead men's bones and all corruption. So when you stand up for truth, Sarah Brady, you are going to come in conflict with the kings of this earth who are conspiring against freedom and liberty. I don't know how to divide these last 5 minutes. Tom was getting fired. What's your take on it, Sarah?
I think that... I mean, like you said, when you come up against the biggest giant, you know, you better expect a battle. And I definitely went through a battle. I will tell you that. But I came out on the other side better, stronger, more educated than I ever have about how important it is for us to stand up. And like Tom said earlier, the thing is going, you know, there's a place for everything, rallies, protests, that kind of stuff. But the reason we're in this mess to begin with is because we haven't really actually kept our republic. We have been watching too much Netflix, too worried about football or whatever it is. And the thing is, here coming some, who knows what the near future holds, but it probably is not going to, we're not probably not going to have Netflix and football because we're going to be so, you know, focused on all the problems that are going to come down the pike with a government who's so out of control because we have sat back and, you know, not done what we've needed to do. Because when a mom's just living her life and the government is going to not only arrest her, but use her as a political example, what does that mean is coming for the rest of us? So, Sarah, the
average guy comes home at night. I got a newspaper in front of me. He sits down and says to his wife, well, honey, did you see Sarah Brady got arrested? Well, is that, you know, we know Sarah, don't we? Huh? She got arrested. Doggone. She didn't deserve that. Hey, honey, what's for dinner? That's our reaction, isn't it? That is really, really our reaction. What do you say to that, Tom?
Well, I wanted to be able to mention one more thing, and I won't go off on another tirade. But
you got three minutes, dude. Go.
In communicating with the state's prosecutor for the DOJ, I was in a small discussion, and this is something that should really rattle your cage enough to be able to ask, not ask what's for dinner. The DOJ says, when there is a mandate like what comes out of the city, like what happened with Sarah with the mayor, they said it's this. It's not law. Now, what we understand in the color of law and the advancement of globalism is to be able to advance the administrative state. What people don't know is just because there was an administrative policy that was created, that's no different than Sarah working for Burger King and me working for McDonald's and making her paint her building, Brent, the same color as mine. Administrative policy only applies, and Lawrence Wasden himself, bless him for this, for that one thing that he said, and allowing me to take down the free speech thing on the college, was that administrative policy isn't law. And the problem is, yeah, now that us four know it, now what are we going to do to be able to try to get people to do it? But the DOJ openly admits that it isn't law. And if it isn't law, then how is it that she can be forced to be able to deal with something in the name of the law that clearly wasn't?
So, Tom, let's say this again, and Sarah, you would agree with this. The mask mandate, the stay off of the playground mandate, was not a law.
Not at all. And I would challenge anybody to that fact because, you know, we all know a federal law was created by the legislature, but it still has to comport with Article 6, which means in pursuance thereof, right? And if it's not in pursuance thereof, and it does more to control the government than it does to, if it does more to control the people than it does to the government, it's not a law at all. And that in itself is the color of law.
Oh, I'm reminded of one of my favorite all-time movies, Cool Hand Luke. When Cool Hand Luke is in the box and the guy puts the bucket in for Cool Hand Luke to go to the bathroom in, and he looks up at Luke and says, "Sorry, Luke, just doing my job." And Cool Hand Luke, the greatest response in all of history, in my opinion, was, "Calling it your job, don't make it right." That's it, isn't it, Sarah? Calling it your job, don't make it right. Calling it a law doesn't make it so. Sarah, you got a minute. Wrap us up here.
Yeah, I think, you know, the excuse, "I'm just doing my job," that basically says you're a mindless fool. If you're just doing your job and you can't think outside of the box and see what you're doing is wrong. So, you know, I after having been through this for almost 3 years, I just look back and I'm like, we've got so much work. We've got so much work, and it's going to be, you know, the rest of my life trying to fight for my children's freedom.
Amen. Because, folks, they're going to live in the society that we leave them. That's why I love a guy like Tom Munns, because he ruffles feathers. That's why I love Sarah Brady, because she ruffles feathers. Folks, the disciples ruffled feathers. The book of Acts is about people ruffling feathers. Oh, we're in the fight of our life. Thank God for somebody like Tom Munns and Sarah Brady. Thanks for joining us. God bless you, folks. We'll see you next week.